world isn't all it could be, finding your passion for work can make it happen. Make your career connection now at 521-TALK, 521-8255. And now, here's George Dutch.
Welcome to another live edition of the Career Connection right here on your News Talk radio station, 580 CFRA in the nation's capital. My name is George Dutch. I have a private practice as a career consultant here in Ottawa, and I'm here every Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. to help you find your right work and help you navigate your way through the brave new world of work to a more satisfying job or career. Well, school is on the way. School starts in Ontario next Wednesday. And many people, this is a source of some concern and anxiety, because you might have a student at home who's in his last year of high school or starting university, and they don't have career plans. They don't really have a clear idea of what they're going to do with the rest of their life. And let's face it, 18, 19, 20 is the first major career decision that we need to make in our lives. And for most of us, we don't make a decision that is very clear or based on reliable and accurate information. We kind of fall into a career, or we go on the advice of family members, or perhaps we follow along the crowd, our friends, we go into the same programs that they're going into. There's lots of things that we do in terms of career. And we plan probably how to buy our new car, spend more time and energy planning that than we do our career. So let's focus on teens, on young people from 17 to 23 years old today, and what they need to do in order to identify their right work and how that translates into specific jobs and specific organizations for them. And I've got a special treat this afternoon. You may remember that 2 weeks ago, if you listened to this show on a regular basis, we had a couple of mothers in the studios whose children had gone through a career assessment process and had made some decisions based on reliable and accurate information about what they enjoy doing and do well and how that translates into specific jobs. And we're going to do that again today with two more mothers, people that have been there and done that, who've experienced some of the anxiety of the future for their children and have taken some action on that. So whether you're young now, or whether you were young once, and perhaps you're a parent or a grandfather or a grandmother of a student 17 to 23 years old, I think you'll enjoy today's show. You'll get a lot out of it. And I think you'll be able to at least put your young person in your life in a direction that they can feel confident about. Because that's what we're about here. We're about building confidence through clarity in terms of your career. So thanks for joining me, George Dutch, here on 580 CFRA. This is The Career Connection. I want to introduce my two guests, the two mothers in the studio today. Directly across from me is Susan Ambrose, who's a nurse and who has a son named Nate, and Pat Thompson, who's in tourism sales and has a son named Corey. Now, 2 weeks ago, we had both sexes represented. We had a boy and a girl. Today, we're focusing on your sons, and I think our listeners will enjoy the stories that they're going to hear. So welcome to the show, Susan.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, Pat. I guess I should ask you first, because I assessed your son a number of years ago now, probably 3 or 4 years ago. What was your concern about the future? What was the worry that you had in terms of Corey's future for work?
Well, at the time, when he was in high school, he knew that he always wanted to kind of be in the sciences. He wanted to work something towards emergency care, ambulance attendant, that sort of thing. He decided to take his OACs in case he did go to university, but he still wasn't quite sure. So there was a big concern for me that he didn't have a lot of direction. He had a lot of energy and had a lot of passion in whatever he did, but he just couldn't really figure out exactly what to do and where to go.
Well, that sounds like a fairly clear direction, going into emergency care of some time. What was the concern there? Did you think it was not a good fit, or did you feel that he needed to think about it a bit more?
Yes, I think that's what the case was. He needed to think about it more. He wasn't quite sure that that was the area. He thought that that was a direction that he would like to go, but he still wasn't quite sure.
Yeah. You know, with my experience with 17 to 20-year-olds, let's face it, they can't know about the thousands and tens of thousands of jobs that are out there. We tend to look at work in a very narrow way. We know about teachers and lawyers and doctors and taxi drivers, but there are literally tens of thousands of jobs out there that most 17 or 20-year-olds wouldn't be aware of. And yet their talents, as well as the skills they picked up through education and part-time work and volunteer work, probably match very well with many, many jobs that they aren't even aware that exist. Mm-hmm. And so they tend to focus on jobs that they've heard about, either through a friend or through a family member, or nowadays that they've seen on television and in the movies. And yet you can serve your child, I think, tremendously by opening up the options that are available to them. Because let's face it, when you're 17 to 23 years old, the world is your oyster. Your future is spread out before you. And so there are many choices, and part of the problem might be that an ignorance of knowing what those options or choices are. Susan, what about your case with your son, Nate, who I believe was 16 or 17 years old when he came to see me a few months ago? What kinds of choices was he aware of?
He is just aware that he was strong in the sciences, but was very, very unfocused as to what he wanted to do, and fairly unfocused in his work at school. And on a discussion with him, he said, well, I don't know really what to do because I don't know what I'm going to do when I leave school, therefore I can't focus.
Yeah, so that's a normal concern, isn't it, for any young person? I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yes.
Hear this all the time, not only from your own children, but I hear it as well. So his concern was that he didn't know what to do, and that caused some anxiety or worry in you.
Yes, and in him. And I said, well, would you like to go and see someone to talk about it? And he was really thrilled at the thought that there was somebody out there who could maybe help him make a decision or to, you know, channel him in the right direction with his gifts and, you know, his interests.
Yeah, so this was of a concern to him.
Yes.
It bothered him, it irritated him, it worried him that he didn't have a clear direction at 17 years old.
Yes, that's right.
Was that
the
case with Corey as well? Or had he settled on this emergency care?
No, that wasn't the case. He was actually working for his dad most of the time through high school. And then in his early 20s, he did not enroll in university. He was continuing to work for his dad, but he still felt, well, what is the next step? What can I do? He was looking for a change, I think, and his grandmother actually heard your radio show and called and said, I think George Dutch would be a great guy for Corey to go see, and that's how
Bless
Corey...
that grandmother.
That's how Corey came.
All right, well, we're going to get into the stories of Nate and Corey in a few minutes. In the meantime, I want to invite listeners to join our discussion. If you have anything to say about the career direction of your young person in your life, please give us a call, 521-TALK, 521-8255. Star 580 is a free call on your Bell Mobility system. And if you're listening outside the Ottawa Valley or perhaps surfing the net this evening at CFRA.com, it's a toll-free call from anywhere in North America, 1-800-580-2372. So please stay tuned to the Career Connection. We'll be back right after these short messages. Teen Angel. Yeah, right. Anything but. Welcome back to the Career Connection on 580 CFRA. We're here this evening to talk about your teens or the young adults in your life, what they can do in terms of a career. Can you develop a career plan for your child that sows seeds of harmony in your relationship? And I'm really talking to the mothers out there, not because fathers aren't concerned about their sons and their daughters, their careers, but I find that in many cases, and maybe there's some listeners out there that want to challenge me on this, but mothers are more prone, I think, to take action for one reason or another on this issue. And let's face it, the teens are an angst-ridden age. There's all kinds of issues going on in a teenager's life, in a young person's life, and work or career, a direction for life, is just one of them. How important do you think it is, listener, to get some clarity for a young person so that they have a sense of direction, and direction that they can trust, direction that they can make decisions on based on reliable and accurate information that they can trust? Is confusion on the part of your child's career plans creating anxiety in your life as a parent? That's another thing that needs to be taken into account. It's not just an issue for the teen or the young person. It's an issue for the mothers and fathers, the parents of these children. Is there anything you can do to give teens some clarity about their career prospects, some reassurance that there are real jobs out there in the real world of work that will deliver, I believe, a measure of job joy to them, that they have a place in the world, that they're not lost, that they're valued, that they're recognized, they can be rewarded for who they are? Well, thanks for joining us, because we're going to talk with two experts in this field. I've got two mothers in the studio, mothers of teen sons, Susan Ambrose, who's a nurse here in Ottawa, and Pat Thompson, who's in tourism sales. Both their sons went through a career assessment process with me, and I thought we would share that process with our listeners, because I think you'll find it not only interesting, but useful perhaps for the young people in your life. Or maybe you're somebody who's past 30 years or 40 years old now, and you wish you'd had that kind of direction. Well, don't give up hope, because the kind of process that we go through in terms of career assessment is good for anybody at any age. My name is George Dutch. I have a private practice as a career consultant here in Ottawa, and I'm speaking with Susan Ambrose and Pat Thompson, two mothers that have had teens go through this process. Susan, in the case of Nate, how important do you think clarity is for a teenager? Because they've got all these things. Hormones are raging at that age. They've got so many different options in terms of things that they can do, so many distractions in terms of media and television and friends and all the rest of it. How important do you think is to give them some clarity about what they might do with the rest of their life?
Well, I think with Nate in particular, he really needed some sort of focus to channel his energies at school, because he was not, he didn't really seem to take much of an interest in some of the things he was doing. And I think since he's seen you, he's really excited about the courses he's doing next year, and much more excited about the school year, because he knows what direction he's going to go in, or that he would like to go in.
He can see how certain courses connect to his life now.
Yes.
I think if we don't have that kind of understanding of how things connect, then we sort of waffle, don't we? We sort of drift around, wondering where we belong, what we should do.
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Pat? How important do you think clarity is in the decision-making of a young person?
Oh, I think it's extremely important. There are so many decisions out there, and as you say, lots going on in a young person's mind, and especially an objective person that can help, like yourself, to bring clarity to a direction that they could go in is very, very important.
Right. I always say that everybody's a career consultant out there, because your parents are telling you what to do, or your friends, or your family members, or everybody you meet on the street has got some advice about what you should do for the rest of your life. But I put a lot of emphasis on identifying and defining the specific talents that each person has, and show them how those talents reoccur or repeat in their life over and over again. That when they're doing things they enjoy and doing them well, they're using these natural talents. And when they can see how they've done something over and over again in their life, how that there's evidence to support the conclusion that they have this kind of a talent, and how that correlates with jobs and organizations. That, as in Nate's case, for example, is a confidence builder. He can see where he belongs, or why he likes doing certain things, and how certain courses will nurture or develop that in him. And that's what I mean by clarity. And very often, of course, if we don't have clarity, we are sort of victims of the winds of circumstance. We will make decisions based on what other people tell us, even though we don't feel confident about it. We will make decisions based on an experience in our life, rather, again, than on reliable and accurate information. So I think in the assessment, the career assessment of young people, as with anybody, a lot of emphasis has to be put on clarity in order to build confidence so that people will make good decisions. Well, let's talk about Corey's story for a few minutes, Pat. Now, when I first saw Corey, and he, as you said just before the break, he was working for his dad in a position that, you know, he could have stayed in for many years and made a good living and worked with his dad, but he felt that wasn't something that he wanted to do, at least at this point in his life. He wanted to try different things. And I remember when he came to see me, he really didn't have an idea of what those things might be. And what really struck me about Corey was, as you said, he had a passion for certain things that he enjoyed doing, and one of them was skiing. In fact, he was trying to get to become a member of the Canadian National Ski Team. And he really approached skiing with a lot of passion. He was dedicated to it. And I'm sure you're well aware of that in terms of how much time and energy and money you had to spend in order to support that passion for him. But what struck me wasn't the fact so much that he liked skiing, because lots of young people like skiing, but the talents that he used while he was skiing. He had obviously a very strong physical coordination talent. He liked to do a lot of physical activity, which he wasn't getting as often as he needed in, I would suggest, in the work that he was doing with his dad. But he needed to be really physically active. But what struck me about the skiing was, first of all, it was in a circumstance of risk and hazard. He wasn't just going on a Saturday. He was skiing slalom, difficult courses. And he had to make a lot of quick decisions when you're skiing in a competitive environment like that. So he had what I call this being decisive talent. He could make decisions quickly in an urgent or emergency situation. So it's kind of interesting, as you said just before the break, that his idea was that he might go into emergency healthcare. So his intuition, in a way, was already leading him. The talent was leading him in a certain direction. Corey had a knack for making decisions quickly in urgent and emergency situations, and doing competitive downhill slalom skiing required that. And that was one thing that he really enjoyed. Now, when it became obvious that he wasn't going to make the Canadian National Ski Team, he started to cast around for something else that he could do. So he had this physical coordination talent, which sounds like a small thing because, let's face it, all young men like to do physical things. Well, that might be true, and they might need to do physical things to discharge that energy, but some people have a knack, they have a talent for it. They need to use their bodies, their torsos, their arms, their legs in a coordinated fashion. Sitting down all day in front of a computer, for example, will, believe it or not, stress them out, cause a lot of frustration for them. So he needed physical activity, and he needed to be in a situation where there were risks and hazards, where the decisions he made could have serious consequences. Now, that's a scary thing for a mother to consider, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, in some ways, I feel sorry for mothers that have sons or daughters that read what I call have this motivating circumstance. They need to be in a work situation where there's some risk or hazard involved, because that's what motivates them. That's what triggers the talent. And then, of course, he had this talent for being decisive in those risky and hazardous situations. So what I said to Corey was, there are many jobs that require that, and I listed a number of them for him. And the one that he liked most at the time, anyways, was a whitewater raft guide. Because, again, you have to be very physical. I don't know if you've been whitewater rafting, but it's a very physical activity. You're paddling a lot, and you have to make these urgent decisions, these decisions in urgent situations. And, of course, it's risky and hazardous. You're going through rapids and all kinds of things. And bless his heart, he took that advice, and what did he do with it, Pat?
Oh, I remember very well. He came home very excited about the idea of being a whitewater rafting guide, got the yellow pages out and called all the companies, and lo and behold, 3 days later, he was enrolled in a guides course up at Esprit Rafting.
You know, that seems like such a small thing, but how many parents out there are groaning, thinking how difficult it is to get their son or daughter to pick up the phone and start looking for work? But he didn't have any problem opening the yellow pages and calling these companies cold and asking them a few questions, which I had suggested to him. And lo and behold, one company said, well, why don't you come in? We're looking for some guides, and we'll put you through a small test, which he did.
Yes.
And he went on that course, as you said, three or four days.
He went on the course, and then...
Now, that's motivation.
Oh, absolutely. and that's Corey. He's a very motivated person when he's turned on to something. So a week later, he came home and said that he'd been asked to be an apprentice, to stay up there for the summer, and to be taught, basically, to be a whitewater rafting guide.
Right, and then things progressed rapidly from there. I mean, the next time I heard from Corey, and I do like to hear from my clients, keep in touch with them, because it's as exciting for me to hear what's happening to them as the kind of adventures that they undergo. And that's really what happened to Corey, is he had tremendous adventure by becoming a whitewater rafting guide. He started out, of course, on the Madawaska River north of Ottawa, but where did he go from there?
Well, what ended
up, Ottawa, sorry.
That's okay. What ended up happening was the owner, Jim Coffey, called me at home, of course, knowing that mothers are concerned about their sons, even though they're in their 20s.
Especially when they're in risky and hazardous jobs like that.
And he said that Corey was doing very well, that he wanted to take him to Africa to go on into Zimbabwe on the Zambezi River.
Even the names sound exotic.
Oh, yes, it was. Very scary for me to think about that sort of thing. But he was asked to be on the Canadian whitewater rafting team because Esprit had won the Canadian championships that year and were competing for the worlds in Africa.
And this was only a few months after he had joined the organization.
Yes, it was by August, actually, by the end of the summer, and he'd started in May.
So Jim had seen a talent in Corey, this ability for whitewater rafting, this physical coordination, this being decisive. And that's the other point that I'd like to make at this point, is that people will recognize your talents if you're using them in the circumstances that motivate them.
Mm-hmm.
For most people, unless they're blind or stubbornly ignorant, they're going to see those talents. And when they recognize them, there's more chance, of course, that you'll be rewarded. And Corey was rewarded with a trip to Africa.
Absolutely. They got back from Africa, and within days, I heard that they were going to Mexico for the winter to run rafting programs in Mexico. So he was certainly on a journey of traveling the world and new discoveries and learning more and more skills with his job.
And how old was he at this time?
21.
21 years old, and he didn't have to join the military in order to see the world. He was a whitewater rafting guy. All right, well, let's take a short break here. We'll come back and talk more about Corey's story. We'll move on to Nate as we talk to Susan Ambrose. Stay tuned to the Career Connection here on 580 CFRA. We'll be back right after these short messages. Thanks for making me, George Dutch, and the Career Connection part of your Sunday evening. It's now 6:31. And we are talking about how to eliminate the confusion about careers and job prospects for your son or daughter if they're between the ages of 17 and 23. How do you give them a sense of direction? And I'm joined by two mothers this evening, Susan Ambrose, who's a nurse here in Ottawa, and Pat Thompson, who's in tourism sales here in Ottawa, as they tell the stories of their respective sons, Nate and Corey, and how finding some clarity about career direction has improved their decision-making about what their plans can be for the rest of their lives. Susan, I want to speak with you for a few minutes now. 2 weeks ago, when we had two other mothers on the program, one of the things that instigated them or caused them to give me a call on behalf of their children was that they had some career guidance assessment done at their school. And when the papers came back, the assessments came back, there were some suggestions for careers for their son and daughter that didn't resonate with them. They didn't trust the information. It didn't seem accurate or in line or in harmony with who and what they knew about their son and daughter. Did you get any kind of career direction from the school that Nate attended?
No, I didn't. No. This was a sort of... When I heard you talk at the Professional Development Day, I thought, well, that would be a good thing for Nathaniel to do sometime, and it wasn't until he suggested that he would like to see someone that I called you, but there wasn't anything done through the school at all.
All right.
That I instigated, anyway.
Now, I know from experience that most schools focus on labor market information. The kind of advice they give is to identify the kinds of jobs that are needed in the world of work out there, and then they tell the young people, these are the kinds of jobs that are needed out there. These are your best prospects for getting a job. So pick one and go after it. There isn't a lot of assessment done of talents as opposed to interests and skills and values, which are other elements that career counselors use to match people up with work. I focus on the concept of natural talent, and I think I'm the only one in Ottawa that does that. The notion that you have innate talents, you're more or less born with them, and it's a question of whether or not you have enough experiences or opportunities in your life to discover and develop those talents into specific jobs or careers. Now, you've known Nate his whole life of 17 years, Susan. What kinds of talents had you seen in him? Were they evident to you? Because very often when we're at home, we can't see the forest for the trees. We know our son or our daughter very well, but we are obviously not trained in most cases as career counselors, so we don't identify and define the talents. But there must be clues, there must be things that Nate did that you said, he seems to have a knack for that. He seems to have a flair for that.
Yeah. One of them is drawing. He was constantly drawing, designing things, even from when he was a very small boy. Designing mainly military stuff, tanks, guns, planes, and as he got into bicycling, he designs bicycles, and he designed a basketball shoe that he wanted to patent because it had a spring in the sole that would make you be able to jump higher. This was when he was about 10. So he's been into designing and drawing from a very, very early age.
Well, Reebok must have heard of that idea, patented it, and made millions of dollars off it. Poor Nate. You could see him drawing. In fact, he had books of these drawings that he had kept over the years.
Yes.
And that's what I mean by evidence. There's often clear evidence of a child's talent. We don't always value that evidence, but it's there. If we look at their story, if we look at the kinds of things that they're inclined to do, especially in those times in their life when they've got time on their hands. Not when the times when they're forced to go to school or they're forced to do homework or whatever, but what do they do when they have time on their hands? What do they choose to do? What are they inclined to do? What do they gravitate towards when they've got time on their hands? And Nate would obviously sit down and often draw things.
Yes.
Yep. All kinds of things.
Yes.
And like many kids his age, of course, he got excited about military hardware with the Star Wars movies and all the rest of it. Now, people will say, well, yeah, drawing talent. Well, don't be an artist. If you're going to be an artist, you're going to be poor. You're going to go hungry the rest of your life. We tend to think of one talent and extrapolate that into a job, one job. We make that direct extrapolation from talent into job and write it off. Well, you can draw, so what? Be an artist. You're not going to make any money. And the thing to remember, of course, I think, that I suggest on this show is that we all have probably 5 or 8 or 10 talents. They come in bundles. There's not just one. And the thing that struck me about Nate's case was that, yes, he had a very strong talent for designing. But before that, it was preceded by thinking. He was very strong in coming up with ideas. He conceived the idea of this shoe or of a pump-up bicycle seat for his BMX bike. He came up with ideas. He was conceiving ideas. And his way of communicating the idea was to draw it out, was to design it. But before that, it wasn't just a drawing talent. He was conceiving ideas. He was thinking up these original ideas. He had a very creative talent, an imagining talent is what I saw in him. He could come up with ideas. And as I talked to Nate, it became clear to me as we talked that he had no shortage of ideas. He's the kind of person that will always have ideas in his life. They just keep coming. And he's only 16 or 17. And look at the kinds of ideas he's had already. So as he grows older and gets more education and his thinking becomes more sophisticated, more rigorous, more disciplined, more trained, who knows what kinds of ideas he'll be capable of. But we tend to overlook that our talents come in bundles. They come in combinations. And what's exciting is how the different talents work together. What's the central result that comes out of this combination of talents? So as I said before, in the case of Corey, it wasn't just that he had a physical coordination talent, but he also had the talent for being decisive in situations that were risky and hazardous. Yes. And Nate, in his case, yes, he had a designing talent, but it came out of this ability to conceive original ideas, imaginative ideas, and then communicate them through drawing, through designing, and a very strong talent. And of course, our society, of course, runs on ideas. He also was very good at observing details, and I wanted to know if that was something that you had seen in him. Did he have a knack for seeing things that other people wouldn't know? Where did that come from? I could say it better myself. Where did that come from? That's the big existential question. Well, I would suggest it's innate. It's there from day one. And, of course, we wouldn't always ascribe a lot of value to that. But the point is that he cannot not do it. As you said, he was always making observations about things that he looked at. And that's that observing talent, the ability. And he obviously, because he's never had any formal training in drawing, he had an observing talent for spatial perception. He could look at two-dimensional things and think of what it would look like in three dimensions. This is what a natural talent that many designers have, of course. But he also could observe visual detail, very strong in observing visual detail. And that sounds, again, perhaps by itself, a harmless talent or something that you wouldn't ascribe a lot of value to. But when you put it in combination with his ability to think, to conceive up ideas, to design, to have the talent for spatial perception, it becomes part of that bundle that then becomes powerful. All right, so as you said earlier in the program, Susan, Nate got a little bit excited after he'd seen me and I had pointed these things out to him, because that's what I did. I act as a mirror reflecting back to him what his talents are, identifying and defining these talents and showing them how they connect to specific jobs. So in a way, I'm putting value on the things that he does naturally and effortlessly and doesn't really consciously identify. But once I point these things out, of course, he has a new understanding of them. He is conscious now, and that motivated him. In what ways, as you said earlier, did it motivate him? He could start to understand what might be important at school for him in terms of a career.
Yes, and he was also very excited at the thought of when you mentioned aerospace design. He said, I didn't know there were jobs like that out there. So it was really very thrilling to him to know that he could do something like that because that's what he's always been interested in the sort of the military and designing stuff.
So yeah, he had a lot of interest in military hardware, tanks and planes and whatnot. Well, there's actually people that come up with ideas about this and design them and then go out and build them. Yes. Now, from what I saw, Nate is not a builder. He's more of a designer. He comes up with the idea, he designs it, etc., and then he'd hand it off to production people. But that doesn't mean that he couldn't develop a production ability. But he will always be inclined to conceive ideas and to design them. And that's the point that we made earlier as well, isn't it, Pat? That people, especially young people between 17 and 23, don't know about all the jobs that are available out there, all the options that are available. Probably in the neighborhood of 60,000 to 100,000 jobs exist, and some jobs disappear every day and some jobs are added on. So it really, I think, helps a young person in terms of building their confidence if they can understand how their talents, as well as the skills they pick up in school, match or correlate with the thousands and thousands of jobs that are out there, because now it gives them hope, realistic hope, about real jobs in the real world of work. So now he's getting excited about aerospace design. Yes. What do you think has he given any indication what he might do with it? We were listening to Pat's story of Corey earlier. He ran with his first job as a whitewater rafting guide with his talent, and we'll hear more about where he's taken that. But has Nate started to talk about what he might do?
He hasn't really. He's been away from home since we saw you, because he went over to stay with his cousins in England, and he just came back this weekend. So we haven't really sat down and talked about it at all. But he's interested in calling the youth apprenticeship program and also talking to people at school about a co-op placement.
Right. These were all suggestions that I had given him in my report. What do you think that you can do as a mother, Susan, to support or nurture these talents towards a career in aerospace design, or at least to explore that?
Just encourage him to make the phone calls and to call the youth apprenticeship and just find out, you know, whether there are things out there for him. and just generally encourage him to sort of pursue it. I think he will, because he's just sort of so thrilled that there was something that he could do that would sort of incorporate his sort of his talents and the things that he loves doing.
Yeah, that he won't. There won't be any problem of motivation.
No.
Right. And I think that's a lot. When you can encourage your son or daughter in a specific direction as a parent, that's a lot. Because now they know that you're behind them, not against them.
Yes.
Which is often a problem, of course, in dealing with teens and young adults. You're on his side now, and you can support him and encourage him. And I think that counts for a lot.
Yes.
And now, how do you think it might change your relationship with him?
We've actually got a great relationship anyway. We get on really well. And
I wasn't implying that you didn't.
No. As a teen, we have a very good relationship. His teenage years have really not been fraught with too much angst on my behalf. So I think he's just pleased that I did that for him. He was so thrilled that when I suggested that we find someone to talk to him about it, he was really very thrilled that there were people out there who could help him. So I think
it might change your perspective, though, if I can suggest this. When he comes up with a statement or a question, like, and I remember he raised this question with me that really, in some way, was a clue to me about possible career options for him. He said to me, now how many 16-year-olds would say this? Where did they come up with the idea for radar absorbent material for stealth airplanes? That was one of the questions that he raised with me. And that was a profound question from a 16-year-old. Where did they come up with the idea for radar absorbent material for stealth planes? That was the kind of question that interested him. When he saw this kind of thing on television, a documentary show or whatever, he would he'd go to sleep thinking about that question. Now, that's a powerful thinking talent at work, or the imagining talent at work. Where did they come up with that? That interested him.
Yes.
And I think in the future, when he comes up with statements like that, you'll know the source of it, where it's coming from.
Yes.
And then, rather than sort of let it pass by unnoticed, you can probe it with him.
Yes.
Yeah. You can encourage him to talk about it some more, or perhaps give suggestions about what he might do in terms of coming up with an answer, where he might look for some answers and support that. And I think many times our sons and our daughters come up with questions or make statements that we do kind of just pass over because we're busy with our own lives. We've got things in our mind. But if we pay attention, if we listen carefully to what our sons and daughters are thinking about, what they're talking about, what kind of questions they're raising, it often provides us with clues as parents about what their talents might be. And that was an excellent example to me of Nate expressing a talent, asking a question like that at the age of 16 years old. Okay, why don't we finish off with at least this segment of the program. We're not finished yet. We go to 7 p.m. as we do every Sunday night here on 580 CFRA. But we'll come back after this break and talk about Corey, what he's done with his talents most recently. So stay tuned to The Career Connection. My name is George Dutch, and we'll be back right after this short break.
Teenager in love.
Oh yes, that eternal question that confounds so many of us at age 17 to 20. Welcome back to The Career Connection on 580 CFRA. My name is George Dutch. I'm here to help you find your right work and help you navigate your way through the brave new world of work to a more satisfying job and or career. And today we're focusing on young people between the ages of 17 and 23. We're talking about how to eliminate the confusion about careers and job prospects for your son or daughter, how to get them started off on the right foot. And during the break, I was talking with Susan Ambrose, one of my guests here today, and I had raised with her the question that her son Nate had raised with me in our assessment session together. He had asked me at age 16 the kind of questions that he keeps coming back to that preoccupy him, that keep him awake at night. Where did they come up with the idea for radar absorbent material for stealth planes? This 16-year-old would think about that. And during the break, Susan, why don't you tell us what he asked at 6 years old?
At 6 years old in grade one, he went to the aircraft museum out at Rockcliffe, and he was looking at one of the World War II planes that have the propeller on the nose and also have guns. And he said, well, I wonder how they timed it so that the bullets can go through the propellers while it was going round. And he asked his teacher how they managed that.
Right.
So that was at six.
That was at 6 years old. And again, I want to emphasize this point that our talents are innate. They're there from day one. It's only a question of whether or not we discover them through opportunities and experiences that we have in life. And they are consistent. and they endure. And they're there at 6 years old, they're there at 16, and they'll be there at 60. And when I had met with Nate, your son, Susan, I had suggested to him, besides identifying some of his key talents, his ability, his imagining talent for conceptualizing an idea, his talent for communicating that idea through design, his observing talents for observing visual detail, for spatial perception, that he should at least explore the careers related to aerospace design and look at university programs related to industrial design that would lead to a career as an aerospace designer. But also he could look at other jobs in organizations that manufacture military vehicles, because that's what he was interested in as a subject matter, was he kept coming back to military hardware, tanks, airplanes, etc., with job titles like vehicle systems engineers, design draftsmen, electromechanical technologists. These are the kinds of jobs that most people have never heard of, but they're part of those thousands and thousands of jobs that exist out there and that match very well with Nate's talents, and that he is now starting to explore, as you said. He's looking at youth apprenticeship programs. He's looking to get into a co-op program with an aerospace design company. And I'm sure that as he explores these options, he may not end up as an aerospace designer, but at least he has a starting point now that he feels confident about. He's got a starting point which will grow, which will validate for him one way or another whether or not this is where he should spend the rest of his life, his niche in terms of the world of work. And even if it's not, it will clearly lead him in a direction that it is, because the evidence of his life is there to tell us what he should be doing in terms of work. So I wish him good luck on that. Pat, let's turn to Corey's story for a few minutes, because we talked about the decisions he made early on after he came from an assessment with me. And we talked about his globetrotting, the fact that he became a whitewater rafting guide here in north of Ottawa on the Madawaska River. And then not the Madawaska River, right. We must get our rivers straight. And then he went on to do rafting trips in Africa, on the Zambezi, and in Mexico and whatnot. Now, how did he identify new opportunities? How did he take a change in direction? Where did it lead him, that whitewater rafting? What's he doing now?
Well, he still enjoys the career very much. But what he also discovered was that he had a talent for teaching as well. And he actually taught the guides course eventually, and he taught the river rescue course. And in fact, on his travels just last fall, well, he was in Costa Rica, then he came back and went to Nepal for 3 months and was trekking through the Himalayas and had an opportunity to actually teach some children English. Ooh. For a couple of weeks at a small little schoolhouse. So that also, I think, has stirred up something in Corey that he didn't realize that he had a talent for as well. But still, always in the outdoors and with an element of risk, you know, in a career still, is what he is interested
in. Right,
he's
found his subject matter.
Yes.
He knows that he wants to be involved in outdoor nature activities, nature-based activity in the outdoors, and that probably won't change over his lifetime.
No, in fact, I think he also has, his main sight is set on being in search and rescue. So while he's been out west, and when he got back from Nepal, he went out to Fernie, British Columbia, and he took an industrial first aid course, which now he qualifies to be an ambulance attendant in BC. He also has taken an avalanche rescue course, and recently taking a rigging for rescue course. So now he's been taking many courses to be able to work in the search and rescue industry when he decides to kind of go to that area.
I want to go back to his talents again, because I think those kind of courses are very much in harmony with his talents. When we talked about his physical coordination talents, because these are obviously courses that require a lot of physicality, and his talent for being decisive, making decisions in urgent emergency situations, especially in situations that have risks or hazards attached to them. So now he's training to become a rescue professional. In other words, when people get into trouble because they're in risky or hazardous situations, sometimes the consequence of that is you get hurt, and he is training to help them when they get into those situations. And of course, that talent for being decisive, when you're on the edge of a cliff and you're rescuing somebody who's broken their leg after a bad fall, is an essential talent to have if you're going to perform that job with any kind of excellence whatsoever. So I hope that he will continue to develop his talents in a direction that harmonizes with the core job duties of those talents, that match up those talents. And it sounds like that's what he's doing.
Yes, definitely.
So I think it's very much in line with his talents, what he's doing now, this search and rescue, this industrial first aid, this survival first aid,
mm-hmm.
because of this being decisive talent that seems to get triggered when he's in risky or hazardous situations. Very interesting.
Yes.
And now, does he talk about his career a lot?
Actually,
does he talk about his plans, his future?
Yes, he does. He has set his sights on working in search and rescue, but currently he's actually made the decision to come back to Ottawa. He's actually come back to work with his dad, which is interesting. He's wanting to...
For our listeners that weren't that just tuned
yes.
in, he had worked with his dad a number of years mm-hmm. ago and was a bit frustrated with that work, and that was one of the reasons he came to see me. He wanted to find work that would excite him more, that would satisfy him more.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that he has to throw it out, the baby out with the bathwater.
No.
It's nice that you can come home and work with his dad. I'm sure his dad must be very happy about that.
Oh, yes.
And he can earn some money so that he can mm-hmm. continue to develop his plans, which are what?
Yes, that's actually his plans are, it's back to his dream to be on a national team, actually. He now has been given an opportunity to train at the Ottawa Sports Science Centre with national and Olympic athletes to hopefully be on a team. And he also really would like to train to be on the Eco Adventure Challenge in a couple of years as well. And of course, working with his dad is going to allow that dream to come true because he'll have, you know, the time to be living in Ottawa. He'll be able to train with a team and also work back with his dad. So
right.
it'll work out fine. And then he wants to eventually go back to his sights on the search and rescue.
Right. And I think that's an excellent plan where, for at least a brief period, he's going to use his can-do skills
mm-hmm.
in an area that he's familiar with in his dad's business
yes.
while he does further training or develops his talents in the area that he has his long-term goals in.
Yes.
And I think many of us find ourselves in those positions at different times in life. It's trade-offs. We have to make decisions that allow us to do the things that we want to do, but at least he's got a clear direction.
Yes.
He knows where he's headed. All right, well, I think it's time to wrap it up here on the Career Connection. I've been talking with Susan Ambrose, who's a nurse here in Ottawa, and she's been sharing the story of her son, Nate, and with Pat Thompson, who's in tourism sales here in Ottawa, and she's been sharing the story of her son, Corey. Both of them were young men that had come to me for a career assessment. They had some confusion about what they should do with the rest of their life in terms of work, and it might be something for you to consider. And if you want to do that, you can check out my services at www.jobjoy.com on the internet. That's jobjoy1word.com, or look me up in the Yellow Pages under Career Counseling here in Ottawa, or give my office a call at 563-0584 and put your son or daughter on the path to job joy, if not this coming week, sometime this fall, because I think it's the kind of thing, wouldn't you agree, Susan and Pat, that
yes.
can help
yes,
not only
absolutely.
Them, but you, give you yes. some peace of mind.
Yes, definitely. Yep.
Right. There's so much anxiety that we have, I think, as parents about the future for our children with all the changes and turmoil and topsy-turviness of today's world of work, that if the kids can feel some confidence and make some decisions based on clarity, it gives us as parents some peace of mind.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
All right, well, thanks once again for coming in and sharing your stories. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Career Connection here on 580 CFRA. We'll be back next week, same time, 6 till 7 p.m., here on 580 CFRA. My name is George Dutch. I hope somebody or something puts you on the path to job joy this week. Stay tuned now for the news.